Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas, a ministry dedicated to bringing Habesarashah Yeshua HaMashiach, Hebrew for the gospel of Jesus the Messiah, back to his people, the chosen people, the Jewish people in the land of Israel, and teaching the Word of God to the church today, that they may have a better understanding of such through the Jewish roots the Christian faith sprang from. Well, we continue what has turned into and what shall continue to be a very lengthy study about the crown jewel of biblical revelation. That would be the person and work of Messiah. And the overriding proposition of this study is to show, without contradiction or disputation, that the Messiah is no other than Jesus of Nazareth, because he alone in Jewish history fulfilled all those specific messianic prophecies that pertain to the Messiah's first coming into the world. And we have been looking at prophecies about Messiah's birth and where he would be born, the place of his birth, and the things prophesied after the Messiah would come. And last time we left off with prophecies that tell us that the Messiah would have to come. And let me correct myself. We're in a section now that deals with prophecies about Messiah's birth, the place of his birth, and currently what we're looking at now, the time of his birth. God gave a specific prophecy to that end, which we're going to look at later on, located in Daniel 9. But the prophecy we were talking about last time we were with you on the air was the fact that the time of Messiah's coming would have to occur, according to the Old Testament prophetic scriptures, it would have to occur before the destruction of the second temple in AD 70. Why? Because the prophet said the Messiah would suddenly come to his temple. In Haggai 2, verses 7 through 9, we are told that the Lord would make the latter temple greater than the former temple because he would fill it with his glory. And then jumping over to Malachi 3, we are told that the Lord would come suddenly to that latter temple, the second temple. And Haggai's prophecy was fulfilled to the letter, because the greater glory of God was revealed at the second temple, much more so than it was in the first temple, when the Lord came down and manifested his glory in the form of a cloud, when Solomon built and dedicated the temple with prayer. You remember that. The glory of God came down as a cloud, and it was so thick the Levites, the priests in the temple, could not minister. The glory cloud was so thick. And yet, the second temple would receive the greater glory of God, because God himself, Adonai, the Lord, would physically come to that temple. And that was only possible by way of the incarnation, when God Almighty became human, when he appeared in human flesh, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And this, of course, this prophecy that says he would come, the Lord would suddenly come to his temple, was abundantly fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus, starting when he was a mere 8 days old in the Lord. So the time of his coming would be, according to messianic prophecy given in the Old Testament canon, the time of Messiah's coming up to this point tells us that it would be before the destruction of the second temple. And that is even more emphatic with the prophecy of the 70 weeks of years given in Daniel 9. And also the place of his coming would be at the temple. Both of these were fulfilled to the letter in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. As we told you in the last teaching, Malachi confirms the prediction in Haggai 2 that the Lord would suddenly come to his temple, the second temple. And so both Malachi and Haggai's prophecy could not be fulfilled after the destruction of Herod's temple in AD 70. So Messiah, in order for these prophecies to be fulfilled, given in Malachi and Haggai, Messiah would have to come before them. And this was fulfilled in the life of Jesus in several ways. When he was first born and his parents brought him into the temple to be circumcised, that was the first fulfillment. And when he went to the temple throughout his 3-year ministry in Israel, he came to his temple. Now, why suddenly? You know, Malachi says in chapter 3 of his book that, behold, the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come. So not only will the Lord come to his temple, but he will be the messenger of the new covenant in whom Yahweh's delight is in. Well, that was true again of Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. When he came to inaugurate the eternal blessings of salvation that flow out of the new covenant which he himself ratified by his atoning death on the cross. Remember what Yeshua said when he was celebrating his last Passover on earth with his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. He took the cup. And there are 3 cups to be drunk in the Passover meal. Well, the cup that he took was called the cup of redemption. And he said, this wine in this cup is a symbolic representation of the blood that I will shed, the blood of the new covenant, which will remit sin. I'm paraphrasing. But you can find that in Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel. Jesus came to ratify the new covenant. And God also said that in His Son, Jesus, He was well pleased. He said that at the Jordan River when our Lord was baptized by John. And He said it again. God said it again of His one and only unique Son on the Mount of Transfiguration, probably Mount Hermon in extreme northern Israel. He said, this is My Son. Behold, hear Him. And so Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of Malachi 3, 1 and 2 and Haggai 2, 7 and 9 in a variety of ways. Jesus healed many that were blind and lame in the temple. And when he would come to his temple, messianic prophecy further tells us that the people would bless him in the temple and while he was ministering in the temple. Psalm 118:26 states, we have blessed you, referring to the Lord, and later it would be the Messiah. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he went into the temple and he healed people. And we are told that they said, the crowd said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And after Jesus healed many people there in the temple, according to Matthew 21:14, there can be no doubt that those who were healed by the touch of Messiah's healing hand blessed him in the house of the Lord. Even as Psalm 118:26 foretold about the Messiah. And I also recall when children also blessed Jesus while he was in the temple and during the last week of his ministry on earth, they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Pharisees upbraided Jesus and saying, you do not let the children speak in such a way. It's blasphemy. And Jesus told them that it was prophesied in the Psalms that children themselves would praise, they would praise God. God would use their praise to perfect His plan and to fulfill the prophecy that Messiah should be blessed in the house of the Lord, where He would suddenly come to. And so, the fact Messiah prophecy tells us, Messianic prophecy in the Old Testament tells us that the Messiah would suddenly come to His temple and be blessed by the people in the temple. This automatically demands that Messiah would come while the second temple in Jerusalem was still standing. This fact is further undeniably established when we remember that after the second temple was destroyed, no other temple of Judaism has been rebuilt since the second temple's destruction in 70 AD. And so, in the words of Bible teacher Fred Maldo, this leads us to one conclusion. To those who have an open mind to look at the evidence objectively, and that conclusion is this: the public entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and into the temple as recorded were all prearranged and predicted and are part of the perfect plan that foretold Messiah and His activities when He should come. They were subsequently fulfilled perfectly according to the blueprint of God in the very movements and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth when He came to the land of Israel to minister among the people. And so, think about it. Malachi made this prophecy in chapter 3 of his book, the last book of the Old Testament, and the second to the last of the Old Testament prophets, if you count John, who was, Jesus said, the greatest of all the prophets who came up to that point. After centuries, after waiting for hundreds of years, Messiah would suddenly, and did suddenly, came to His temple. And once He did that, and the final forever sacrifice was made by the atoning death of Jesus on the cross, God brought the temple down by the hands of the Romans, even the city itself, just as Jesus accurately foretold in Matthew 23. And since that destruction, and since the 7th century AD, the pagan shrine, the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the golden dome of the rock has stood. No doubt God has allowed this to say to all, both Jew and Gentile, that Messiah has already come to His temple. And so that prophecy cannot be fulfilled now because there is no temple. And so therefore Messiah had to have come over 1900 years ago, nearly 2000 years ago, before the second temple was destroyed. And that leaves you and I a choice. Either we believe Jesus of Nazareth is the one and only Messiah who fulfilled these prophecies alone in His life, or there is no Messiah. That's the dilemma that the anti-Yeshua Orthodox Jewish organizations must try to face. And they attempt to explain away these prophecies to hide the fact that they were obviously fulfilled in Jesus, to justify their rejection and unbelief towards Him. But they do a very poor job, as any competent and objective listener, reader, and researcher would admit. And so if Jesus were not the Messiah and he did not fulfill these prophecies, then there is no such thing as a credible or true Messiah. Furthermore, no prophecy, no word of God, no God himself, no objective truth would then be reliable, trustworthy, or maintained. If God did not fulfill his plan as according to the prophesied word he gave, then history and mankind himself floats, in the words of Jean-Paul Sartre, floats on the sea of meaningless and nothingness. Well, let's move on to what I believe is the greatest messianic prophecy in all of Scripture that pinpoints the exact time Messiah would come. Time and place, I should say. And that takes us to the great prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel, given in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Verses 25 and 26. Now, I did an extensive and systematic teaching on Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks of years at Shalom Messianic Congregation, a small congregation that I pastor here in Dallas, Texas, a congregation that the late Dr. Zola Levitt and I helped create. He asked me to help him with that, and I did. And when the Lord took him home to glory, I assumed the leadership role at that congregation. Nonetheless, I taught an extensive study and teaching on Daniel's 70 weeks of years. You can actually access that on our website. It's available through MP3 download or just regular download on your computer. It's called Daniel's 70 Weeks of Years. I believe it's under the Teaching tab at the bottom of our website. You can go to that and access that. So we'll give more of an overview here then of the prophecy of Daniel's 70 Weeks of Years. And to do that, let us now go to part of the prophecy itself, whose verses specifically focus on the exact time period the Messiah would come. Daniel 9, 25 and 26. Know therefore and understand. Now this, let me just remind you that the person speaking here is Gabriel the angel. Daniel was fasting and praying. Let's just familiarize you with the context of Daniel 9 before we read these two verses in Daniel 9. Daniel was fervently praying and fasting for Israel. And he was asking Yahweh God, the God of Israel, when will this 70 years of captivity end? Because Daniel looked into it and he realized that what Jeremiah had prophesied, what God had prophesied through Jeremiah, that the nation of Israel would be held captive 70 years in Babylon, was almost up. And so Daniel began to pray, asking God when this 70-year captivity would end. And so God sent Gabriel, the angel, to reveal a far greater prophecy based on the 70 years of captivity, called the 70 weeks of years. Now when we say 70 weeks in Daniel 9, verses 24 through 26, what the angel means here, what the Word of God means here, is that these are weeks of years. Weeks of years. So in other words, 1 week is 7 years. So if you have 69 weeks of years, each week being 7 years, 69 times 7 is what? It's 483 years. Follow me? All right, having said that, God reveals to Daniel through Gabriel the 70 weeks of years of prophecy, a period of 483 years that would begin with the issue or the decree by king allowing Israel, the Jewish captives in Babylon, to return and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Once that decree was issued and given, allowing the Israelites to do that, then the prophecy of the 483 years or 69 weeks of years would occur. And at the end of that 483-year period, the Messiah would appear. And the beginning point for that would be the issue for the Jewish exiles to return to their land to restore and build Jerusalem. Now, having said that, let us read Daniel 9, verses 25 and 26 about the 69 weeks of years, and the last week, the 70th week, is given in 27. We will not touch on that. Our main focus here is the time period that began the 483-year period and the end point, which would result in Messiah's appearing and then being cut off or being killed. So let's, with that in mind, let's read these two verses. Verse 25 of Daniel 9. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, Mashiach, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. So what is Gabriel the angel saying to Daniel here? Well, basically, the prophet Daniel is being told, and then writes this revelation, he's being told about the specific time period for the coming of Messiah relative to the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple, and later on the destruction of this rebuilt temple, which would be the second temple. And giving the timetable from Daniel's time to the coming of Messiah, Daniel makes it very clear here that Messiah will come and be cut off before the people of the prince, the Romans, would come and destroy both the city of Jerusalem and the temple itself, as it tells us in Daniel 9:26. So Messiah must come and be cut off after 69 weeks of years have passed. 69 times 7 means that this period covers 483 years. 483 years. And the 69 weeks of years, or the 483 year period, would begin with the issue or the decree allowing the Jewish exiles in Babylon, allowing them to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And so this definite time period gives us an exact prediction as to the specific time the Messiah would come. And for that reason alone, the prophecy here of Daniel's 69 weeks of years up until verse 26. 70th week is a separate period of time, which we won't touch on here. But anyway, suffice it to say that Daniel, the prophecy about Messiah's specific arrival after a certain passage of time is completed, this makes it one of the most amazing and greatest prophecies about Messiah in the entire Scripture, because it establishes the specific date and year of Messiah's first advent, almost 500 years before he was born and came to Israel. Now the date given, the beginning date for this 483-year period, from the rebuilding of the temple and city of Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, which is 483 years, when did that begin? When were the Jews allowed to return from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple? When did that occur? Well, we can chronologically figure it out. By ascertaining when in history the commandment was given allowing the Jews to return from Babylon to restore and to build Jerusalem. That the date of that command occurred in March of 445 or 444 BC when King Xerxes gave a royal decree allowing whoever wanted to go in Babylon from the Jewish community, allowing them to return to rebuild their city and temple. And that is officially recorded not only in ancient history, not only from the secular historians of antiquity, but also it's given in the scripture, Nehemiah 2, 1 and 8. There we read how Artaxerxes issued a royal decree allowing the Jewish people to return to Israel and rebuild the temple. So that is when Daniel's 69 weeks of years began, the 483-year period, starting from the command to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem to the Messiah's coming. 69 weeks of years, which totals out to 483 weeks of years. Now let me add as an aside that some scholars differ as to the exact date Artaxerxes gave allowing the Jews to return to the land and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The dates have ranged anywhere from 454 to 444 BC. So that's the beginning point of the 483 years or 69 weeks of Daniel, give or take, can extend to a 10-year period between 454 and 444 BC. In any event, however, the 483 years that began brings us to the exact time when Jesus of Nazareth was alive and ministering in Israel. If you want two excellent studies on the great prophecy of Daniel 9, 24 through 27, I would recommend Sir Robert Anderson's great work, The Coming Prince, or the late Dr. Harold Honer's Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ book. Both of them give a detailed chronological and historical analysis for this specific time period, which would culminate in the end with the appearing and first coming of Messiah. Let me also say that the Hebrew word translated here in Daniel 9:25, weeks, means sevens or heptads. Just as we use the term decade for a 10-year period, the Hebrews used the concept of the heptad for a 7-year period. The ancient Hebrews used the term heptad for a 7-year period. See Leviticus 25:8 and Genesis 29, verses 27 and 28. And so the 70 sevens, the 70 heptads that are prophetically declared on Israel, specifying the exact time when Messiah would come, deals with the holy city, the Jewish people, and the temple. It deals exclusively with Jerusalem, the Jewish people, and the temple. We know this from what is said in Daniel 9:24. The whole period of Daniel's weeks of years is 490 years. And this period is divided into three sections. 7 weeks or 7 years, the 49-year period, the prophet Daniel allots for the rebuilding of Jerusalem under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra. History does tell us that it took around 49 years to do this rebuilding job, as verse 25 specifies. A second period after that, 62 weeks or 434 years, would then bring the time to the Messiah. A total of 69 weeks of years, equaling 487 years. And of course, the 70th week, the last week, is a period of 7 years that would occur sometime after the coming of Messiah, right before His return to earth. Well, I've gone way over time. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach, Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.